Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Episode 39. Simplicity Circle founder Milena Lyshinsky is creating a simplicity revolution for coaches, authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs who want to grow their businesses with ease. Creator of Recurring Revenue Revolution, author of Coaching Millions, co-founder of JV Insider Circle, and an inventor of TeleSummits, Milena is known as a serial entrepreneur and a paradigm shifter by many luminaries. She came from Soviet Ukraine 25 years ago as a classical musician with zero knowledge of the business world and has built multiple six- and seven-figure businesses since.
Milena Lyshinsky, I'm so happy to have you here. Hi.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Hayut.
Thank you so much for being here. I was waiting for you to come and I'm so happy. I just shared with our listeners what you are doing and what you've done until now. And I would like you to share with us what you are most passionate about today and where are you heading?
Wow, we're getting right into the passion questions.
we start with passion.
I have several things going on that I'm excited about. The first one is the fact that I'm running a company called Simplicity Circle, and it's all based on this idea and the wave that's happening right now of simplicity entrepreneurship, which is based on the premise that you can build and grow your company as, you know, as successful, as profitable as you want, and make the impact you want without paying the cost of your independence, peace of mind, your health, your relationship. So, you know, keeping your company as simple as possible with simplicity as the focus while still making an impact and creating income for yourself. So that's kind of like my direction in business that I am headed towards. And maybe more specifically, I am excited about the strategy that I invented many years ago. It's called TeleSummit, and TeleSummits have evolved into virtual summits, and they're still such an amazing way to elevate your business, to give your brand a boost, to put yourself on the map. So I am now back to really helping people in creating summits that can do all of those things for them. You know, 13 years later and thousands of TeleSummits later, There's so much more to really think about when creating your own virtual summit. So those are the two areas that my mind and my heart have been lately.
It sounds great. And I read a bit about this simplicity and I'm so curious to hear you. How do you see that? Because, you know, I'm kind of old-fashioned and I know to get everything by working hard. So you have other ways to do that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I was trained the same way, that to get anywhere, to achieve any result, you need to work hard. And maybe when you're at the beginning of where you are, maybe working hard is the answer. You know, I came from Ukraine as a classical music teacher, and I had to change my profession so that I could actually support my family here. And I went from being a musician to becoming a technician, you know, and I became a computer programmer. So I definitely worked hard. And then when I first started my business, I also worked really hard and went to school and raised two small children. So it's always been, you know, I've always worked hard. But simplicity is not necessarily about not working hard. It's about working hard in the right direction.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so what I mean by that is that if you are working hard, not utilizing your natural abilities, your super skills, as I call them, it's not only going to be hard, but you're not going to have any fun, and the results are going to come through grinding and pushing and forcing, and ultimately you'll burn out. And that's actually something that happened to me last year as I walked away from a million-dollar company that I built with my partner, with my business partner. It was just not the right fit for me. I wasn't using my natural abilities. I wasn't building my business on top of my natural skills. And I ended up burning out, getting overwhelmed, losing my inspiration, and waking up one morning and saying, you know, is this all there is? Work, work, work. No fun. Now, when you are using your natural abilities and you're designing your entire business model around what comes natural to you, where you take the most pleasure, then results come with ease and you can sustain your business a lot better because it's something that you enjoy doing. Do you work hard? Sure, you do. I love creating products and I can work hard at creating products, but I'm having so much fun. And I know that there's something that I get fulfillment from creating products and programs. And then there's some areas that they're not natural abilities for me, like networking. And so if I had to build my business around networking, I think I would be miserable.
I can understand, and I do agree. I perfectly agree because I'm saying, yeah, I'm working hard. First of all, don't tell anybody, but I really like that. And the second, I always say that I've been in marketing for 31 years. I didn't mean to. I was waiting to study engineering, but then I just got into marketing and marketing got into me. And for 31 years, I'm enjoying so much everything that I do. So I do agree with you that we must do something, especially today when it's so hard, you know, to make a living. It's not easy. And we must do something that sits where we really very good at what we do and love what we do. This is the meeting point that I believe in. So I can really understand now what you're talking about.
Well, there are points in your business when you have temporary complexity. I call it temporary complexity because it's complex and it's hard, but it's temporary because on the other side, there is simplicity. Just like I had to learn how to create websites years ago, how to learn a computer programming language. It was very difficult. But on the other side of it, there was more ease and more simplicity for me. So what the problem happens is when people build their entire companies around something that is not really a natural ability for me. Years ago, I had a coach and he told me, you need to start traveling around the country and go to every coaching networking event and speak about your book. And so if you listen to what I just said, you'll hear two words, you know, I have to. And it was all about speaking. And also it had to do with me networking because these were networking groups, right? And on top of that, I had two small kids that I really didn't want to travel. But if I had listened back then and started traveling to all these coaching networking events and speaking about my book, I would burn out very quickly. Somehow I knew that in my heart that that was not the right way to go. I fired my coach and I went about it a different way.
Yeah. Milana, who are your customers today? Actually, you talked about two routes that you're following. One is the virtual summits, which is very interesting as well. And the other one is the new simplicity. And who are the customers? Are there customers of both together, each one? Who are they?
Yes. So I have the same target market, target audience for both of these pieces of my business. They are coaches, you know, life coaches, business coaches, health coaches. They are experts who sell expertise online, and they're entrepreneurs who want to grow their business but feel overwhelmed and confused with all of the available methods and platforms and advice out there. So when I talk about simplicity to them, they're excited because that means that I'm going to show them the simpler road, the simpler way to get where they want to, a way to discern which methods are the right ones for them and which which strategies they should avoid or at least put on hold, or, you know, not their primary, but coaches, experts, and entrepreneurs who are looking to monetize their expertise online, that's always been my primary target market. And they do love the idea of creating a simplicity-based business. And I believe that the way to do that is to have a virtual summit, because it's such a short-term event that can boost your entire business to the next level. And there's so many different ways that you can do a virtual summit that it can accommodate any natural skills, any natural abilities. If you like networking, you can do your summit through networking. If you like teaching, you can teach. If you like creating, you can create. If you like coaching and championing people, you can do that. And all of that can be done through a virtual summit. So the target market is the same for both.
It sounds so interesting. And first of all, I want to ask you two questions about that before I ask you for your best advice, because this is going to come next. But I want to ask you, first of all, where do you see the similarity between Facebook Live and the virtual summits? Is there any meeting point there? And if you can tell us about one of the most successful virtual summits that you just lately helped somebody to bring to life, because this is really, I think, very interesting for our listeners.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I find it interesting that you ask the question about the difference between Facebook Live and a virtual summit, because what it seems that has happened is a lot of summits are using Facebook Live as the platform for delivering a summit, right? Okay. But a virtual summit is essentially a virtual event conducted over the internet, you know, online, virtually, remotely, over the course of multiple days with multiple speakers. That's what a virtual summit is. When I so it used to be called a telesummit. And back in 2005, I Googled the word telesummit and it didn't exist. It came into my head to name my event telesummit. And so I ended up holding the very first ever in the world virtual summit, which was called the Coaching Telesummit of 2005. Then I taught telesummits to a group of coaches and entrepreneurs in New York City at the JCC, actually. Remember, we had a room, you know, we rented a conference room. It was a collaborative event, and we taught it to a bunch of entrepreneurs. And the following year, telesummits have exploded in all kinds of industries. There was a summit in Mary Kay industry, you know, direct sale. It was called the Pink Cadillac Summit for people who sold Mary Kay cosmetics. I had a client who did a telesummit called Smartest Summit for artists, which is really interesting because artists are considered, you know, the starving, poor artists who don't have means for survival. That woman charged $100 to $500 to attend her summit. And those artists have attended it. There are many, many summits in many different industries right now happening in music industry. I saw a summit in music as a business summit. I have a friend who's putting together a summit for moms entrepreneurs who are working from home. So there's a lot of different summits. The difference, I would say, is that Facebook Live is just a platform. You could, for example, use Zoom platform for your virtual summit. You could use a telephone, like a Bridgeline. So that's another summit. I'm not sure if I've answered your second question. I think you asked for like examples or stories.
Yeah, you've told some, but yeah, if you can tell a story about something that happened lately and for an entrepreneur or something close, that really was a very big success.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple of summits that I am aware of. Very recently, there was a summit called Teachable, the Teachable Summit. So there's a company called Teachable.com. It's a learning management system software. I'm actually using it to create my own summit academy. You know, if you go to Teachable.com, you'll see it. But they recently held a Teachable virtual summit where they brought together all these course creators and all these people who teach you how to create a course online and how to sell it. And everybody was teaching their angle, their take on this topic. So that was very successful. They did it because they wanted to have more people, more experts to learn about Teachable as the solution. What a smart way for them to do that.
Yes, it is.
I also have a friend, Christine Closer, who does these transformational author experience summits. She brings best-selling authors, publishers, editors, all these people who support the book publishing industry in one place. What's interesting is that Christine was in my audience in 2006, many years ago, when I originally taught summits, and we met later when she moved into my area. So what that has done for her is it allowed her to align herself with the industry leaders, which is why summits are so incredible, so powerful for not only growing your company, but also establishing yourself as that go-to expert, as the industry leader. Because when you have, you know, Marianne Williamson or Neil Donald Walsh speaking at your summit, you are seen very differently, right? You're seen as the leading expert, as the leader of your niche. So these are just a couple of examples. I did a summit back in 2010. It was called Coaching Boom 2010. And I invited all the people that I saw that I believe were coaching leaders in our industry. And I asked them to share, what do you see in the future for coaches, for the coaching industry? And everybody shared what they saw in terms of trends, predictions, where this industry is going and what we need to be watching. And so that was a phenomenal way to bring top leaders together in one industry.
It
so
is.
You can do that in any industry, on any topic where you want to put a shine, you know, on you and a spotlight on your brand.
Sounds great. And I would like now to ask you if you have any concepts or beliefs regarding the way an entrepreneur or a small business owner should approach its customers, and what is the best advice that you can give our listeners regarding approaching their customer and their customer focus?
That's an interesting question for me, because I've always believed that you should be your best customer. Now, I remember I work with coaches, authors, speakers, experts who are building businesses very often from home. And very frequently, their businesses are based on their own passion, or they're born out of their own need. My first business was absolutely built out of my own need to stay home. And, you know, I wasn't able to attend all these coaching conferences, and I really wanted to, but I couldn't because I had two small kids. So what did I do? I started a virtual summit. I began my company with first forming an association, an online association for coaches, and then hosting its first virtual summit. And so I feel like it's really important to understand your customers is to be in the shoes of your customers, or have somebody that is very close to you, maybe a loved one, a family member, so that you can understand your customers at a much deeper emotional level, so that you can really know what their life looks like, what their thoughts are like, what their biggest fears are. Especially this is important online, because as you write emails or sales materials or marketing copy, you need to know how to enter the conversation that's happening in your customer's mind, or you will not be able to connect with them, right?
Totally right. Totally right. And I know you've got some very nice successes, but I want for a minute to ask you about what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that really affected your entrepreneurial journey the most.
Yeah, I love this, and I've never actually talked about this until now. So this will be like me sharing this thought, you know, and I know that I'm not the only one who's been impacted by this negatively. But the idea of holding big launches, big product launches online, where, you know, if you are a customer or a potential customer, what you see on your end is suddenly one day you wake up you open your inbox and you receive 11 emails about the same product or about the same webinar or about the same person. And then you wake up the next day and you get more emails about something else this person is doing. And it happens, you know, it lasts for about 2-3 weeks unless you unsubscribe from those mailing lists. But what is happening is a big launch is happening. And all these promotional partners are emailing their mailing list to, you know, about something that's going on, that's being launched. But the end user, the customer, what they're seeing, what they're getting is this deluge of emails and announcements and notifications. There's so many emails. There's so much confusion, noise, clutter happening, right?
It's so interesting you're talking about it from this point of view, but can you tell me the story of the failure that you're talking about?
Well, what happens when you do that to in your own business, you are burning out your list of subscribers. And as a result, people don't pay attention to your emails and your sales drop, your open rates drop. So the way that these big launches have affected my business is that it burnt out my audience.
Oh, it's very interesting you're saying that, because I've seen and I've heard last time when I was in the social media marketing world, which is the best conference ever in San Diego, and I'm going there for a few years and I will go this year, of course. But I heard few speakers talking about this huge launch. And, you know, I didn't think of the point of view that you're talking about. I just felt bad about myself that I really don't do this big launch. I am a believer in big launch when you're talking about very big products, which they are all over the world. So you have to find a way to do that. But this email blitz, I do agree with you that it doesn't work well.
I like that expression, email blitz. That's exactly how customers experience a big launch. When you have 20 promotional or joint venture partners promoting the same exact product, what the customer is experiencing is a total overwhelm of emails, this confusion, and everybody's trying to sell that product because what happens is they get commissions, right? Sure. As affiliates, they get commissions, so they're trying to throw in exciting bonus packages. And, you know, when you buy this product through my link, you get this bonus. And somebody else will say, if you buy it from my link, you'll get this bonus package. And so everybody wins except customers.
Yeah, except customers. But when you had this experience, were you the one who sold the product or were you the affiliate?
Both. I was the person who was launching the product.
What was the product?
So at that time, it was a community that we were building and we wanted everybody to tell everybody about it. In the past, there would be some other product. But the bottom line is that when you do big launches, you know, like I did and like many of my colleagues do, we start having overlap in our list of subscribers, because if I'm promoting you and you're promoting me, eventually we're going to have the same people on our mailing list.
Sure.
And then we're going to blast them with more emails about other products. But yeah, so I was both. I was the one who did the launch. I was the one who was an affiliate for other people. And last year, as I walked away from my company that I co-build with my business partner, I became the customer. So I started seeing it from the customer's perspective a lot better. I got overwhelmed myself.
I really want to thank you for sharing that with us because it's so interesting. And now I want to ask you the story about your biggest success due to the right customer approach. Tell us the story of the greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer approach or focus, something you did right with the customer.
Yeah, well, I kind of mentioned it earlier, and I think I did this by accident because I just wasn't smart enough back then as a business owner. I went with my gut feeling. My intuition told me that that's something that might work, and it worked. And it worked so well that it put me on the map. And of course, when I was raising two small children, my husband was going to school and then he was driving the truck and I was home with two kids. I really couldn't go to all these business conferences and coaching conferences. And so I thought I would create my own and invite other people to it. What I didn't realize was that there were thousands of other people like me, moms who wouldn't or couldn't travel, people who were maybe just not traveling for other reasons. Maybe it was money, maybe it was life circumstances, but there were a lot of people who were not willing to travel. And so when I held my first summit, I had people not only from the United States, but from all over the world. I had people from 11 countries signing up for my first virtual summit. And so what I felt happened was that I accidentally uncovered a customer niche that was that had a very deep need to learn and to get together, but they couldn't travel.
Oh. So, and it just started like, you know, fire?
Yes, yes. I held a summit after a summit every January for 4 years. I was doing my summits. And what's happening right now, I have to tell you, Hayut, a lot of people will say, well, a lot of people are doing summits. Telesummits are dead. And I would tell them, I would ask them, if telesummits are dead, does that mean the events are dead?
Sure.
If telesummits are dead, does it mean collaboration is dead? Right? Neither one is true. And some people are trying to do something different, the opposite. They're saying, well, I don't want to do a virtual summit. I'm going to do a real summit. And they're starting to turn the idea of a virtual summit into a real live summit. And what they're trying to do is actually go against what the customer wants. The people who attend virtual summits, they don't want to travel.
I think nobody can say that it's dead now when we have really Facebook Live. So we are in the beginning of all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when somebody tells me, well, I'm going to do the unsummit, sort of like the opposite of a virtual summit, I chuckle to myself because I know that there will always be people who will travel to live events and there will always be people who will not travel. So to me, that was actually my biggest breakthrough, is identifying a customer niche of people who don't want to travel, who want to learn, who want to collaborate and be a part of something bigger than their own business. And a virtual summit is it. That's what brought them together. So I would say that would be my biggest success story that allowed me to get on the map.
It sounds like a great success story. And I want to ask you, you told us a bit about the technical part of your life. And I want to ask you if you can recommend the best or most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus, marketing, or sales. And the reason I ask that is because there are so many tools today, and it's not that I'm looking for another one to add to the list, but I'm looking for those tools that the successful entrepreneurs are using. They're working for them. And that's what I want to ask you.
Yeah. So one of my favorite tools, other than Facebook Live, actually, I love Facebook Live because it allows you to, well, it allows you to create an emotional connection to the customer, because even if you don't sell, you're just speaking. It's a very social and sociable tool. You connect to people. It's a very cool relationship building tool. But the other tool that I would recommend is Zoom. Now, Zoom is a little different than Facebook Live. It is almost like Skype, except you have your own Zoom room where people can come in. I don't know if you're familiar with that tool, Hayut, but it allows you to also have video trainings, video calls. You can share your screen. And the way I use Zoom is for masterminding with people. Oh. We used to mastermind, you know, connect and do idea exchange over a bridge line, like a phone line. But we couldn't see each other.
Sure.
Now, a Zoom platform allows everybody to click a link and see each other on the screen at the same time. And if I'm the facilitator of my mastermind group, then I get to see people's reactions, facial expressions. If they raise their hand to ask a question, I can see that. If somebody is shaking their head, it means they don't agree with something someone else is saying. So everybody can see each other. So Zoom would be my actually, I recently only discovered it, which is why I'm still in love with it. I'm still talking about it.
Yeah, it sounds like that, because I only use Zoom. I know Zoom, but I only had the chance to use it just instead of Skype and not for the new capabilities that you're talking about. And it sounds very interesting.
Yes, absolutely. You can create an entire virtual summit and see all the people, all the participants right on your screen. I can't wait, you know, to actually do that myself. So you can have as many people as you want. You know, they have different pricing plans. They also have a free option, I believe, up to 40 minutes of meeting time. It's free to you. They also have the ability to host a webinar, so you can actually have slides and you can stream it right on Facebook, which is one of the biggest reasons people love Zoom, is because you can, right in Zoom, you can click a button that says stream to your Facebook page. And now people can see you both in Zoom and on Facebook in real time. So it's a really, really phenomenal tool.
Thank you. It sounds phenomenal. And I'm going to try it in a much wider way than I did. And, you know, there are many things that actually affecting our successes. But I want to ask you, what is the one thing that really affects your successes? What is your key success factor?
I think what really drives me and my success is the desire to build something innovative, to build something fresh and meaningful, but also innovative, something that hasn't been done before, something that hasn't been taught before. Because of how fast our market moves, you know, we see what everybody is doing because of social media. We are aware of everything and everybody and what everybody's working on. We are aware of all the details of people's lives and businesses and strategies they're using. So strategies get old fast. Methods and platforms constantly need to innovate. And so I think my desire to build something meaningful and fresh and inspiring and mainly innovative that will open up a new way to see something or to think about, that's, I think, what keeps my success moving forward in my business after, you know, the multiple businesses that I've had over the last 17 years. This is, I think, my core driver of my success.
Wow. It's a beautiful driver. I love that. The final question before I'll ask you what is the best way to contact you and to connect with you, because I'm sure quite a lot of our listeners would like to do that. But the final question before that is, you know, we are all the time, we talked a lot about success now, and it always reminds me climbing a mountain and then reaching the top and finding a new beautiful one to climb on. And I wanted to ask you, do you have any mountain you ever climbed or wanted to climb or wish to climb one day or just love to be on?
Wow.
Physically mountain.
Physical mountain. Holy cow. The closest connection to a mountain was that when my son was little, when he was 3, 4, 5 years old, my husband and I would take him to a local park. You know, we lived in New York State. We moved to Pennsylvania. We lived all over, you know, different places where there are mountains. And my husband wanted my son to climb the mountain with him. He was making him do that. My son didn't want to do that, but he was pushing him to do that, to like keep going and keep going. You can do this. And so my son is now very successful. And this is the first time I've actually thought that there is some kind of a connection between that persistence and that pushing yourself up the mountain, despite of not really wanting to, despite of bugs flying in your face, despite of being hot and dirty and just wanting to climb down into your mommy's arms.
Did you think there is might be some connection to that?
There may be. I don't know. I mean, mountain climbing builds character. And when you are 3 or 4 years old and you have to overcome those challenges, I have to wonder about that. I'll never know, I guess, because he also did a lot of other things in his life that pushed him, you know, beyond his comfort zone. So, but that was one of the first challenges that he had to overcome, for sure. Yes.
Beautiful. We'll end the conversation with you. And I want to ask you, what is the best way for anyone that wants to be in touch with you, to connect with you?
Absolutely. So if you are interested in learning about virtual summits, if that topic, you know, caught your attention and you'd like to know more, I have a little website called makeyoursummitsell.com. Make your summit sell, and you'll get, you know, strategies for making your summit successful. If you love the idea of being a simplicity entrepreneur and building a simplicity-based business, then you can find out more by going to my home site at simplicitycircle.com.
That's great. And we'll put these links, as well as any other links connected to what we talked about today, at the show notes of this interview. And Milena, I want to thank you so much for this very, very unique and interesting and engaging conversation. So thank you. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Hayuda. The pleasure was all mine. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.